Hallelujah. And like the brother said a while ago when he said, it don't make any difference what God's got, just so peace and the will of God. That's the bottom line. Yes. You want the preacher to be in the will of God. But it's important for you and I to be in the will of God too, whether we're preachers or not. Amen. That's right. That's right. Yes, well, I'm not got a calling on my life. No, but God wants you to grow where you're planted and bear fruit. Amen. And do your best for Him, whatever your situation. Amen. If the prayer warriors would be as faithful to pray as they expect the preachers to be to preach, and God called every one of us to be a prayer warrior. Some have a special gifts of intercession and supplication and prayers, but Paul said he would that prayers and intercessions and supplications be made for all saints. Amen. I mean, every last one of us has got an obligation there, whether we're preacher, deacon, Sunday school teacher, lay member. We've got an obligation and responsibility. Amen. If you're willing to swap your experience with God for anything, the devil will try to fit you in if he can. That's right. I've worked, pioneered to work, worked to make a living. I had some good offers made. One of the biggest builders in the whole area told me one time, if you'll train a crew enough to where when you get on the job, you can be done in a week. With all the masonry work on the job, said, I'll keep you busy. I know some other builders said, we'll keep you snowed under, make a wealthy man out of you. He said, would you do it? I said, sir, I'm building a little church down here in the country, and it comes first. And if I start operating a big enough crew to go on those big jobs and do all the masonry work in a week, build a fireplace as we was working on a big double fireplace, and plus a lot of other stonework, big retaining wall, and just two of us are doing it, and we just couldn't get it done fast enough as he wanted it done. I said, but if I get to where I'm concentrating on that, I'd miss God. And my little church would suffer. And I wouldn't be no good to you or God or nobody else. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I put the work of the Lord first. Amen. It's always got to come first. Yeah, there's other things you got to do sometimes to pay the bills. There's other things that you've got to do. Amen. Paul wasn't too good to work. Come on. Paul wasn't too good to work when it was necessary. He was going in a new area, start a new work. Amen. Rented his own place to preach. Oh yeah, if we've got an RV and we've got a big rig and we've got this and we've got that and we've got something else, Hook will preach. Paul went and rented his own place and made tents and harness to foot the bill while he's doing it. Amen. That's right. Come on. God help us. God help us. But we need to sell out to God completely, unreservedly, entirely. Live, die, sink, or swim. Lord, I want to be where you want me to be, doing what you want me to do. Amen. Thank the Lord. Whatever I have to do to stay there, whatever I have to do to be there, let me to do it, Lord, so I can make heaven my home. Why? This world's going to pass away with a great noise one of these days. Elements going to melt with fervent heat. Heaven's going to depart like a scroll when it's rolled together. And what we've heaped up and accumulated down here is going to burn up. That's right. That's right. And eternity's too long to miss heaven. And life's too short to miss the will of God and do your best for God. You can try to stay straddle the fence and hang on to the world with one hand and try to hang on to God with the other hand and be as miserable as you can be. Hey, some of you here tonight's miserable because you won't turn loose of the world. And God's pulling at you on one way, and the world's pulling at you the other, and you won't turn loose and it's pulled you apart. Come on. Why don't you sell out completely to God tonight so God can move and work in your life? Hallelujah. And then you can sing with the joy of the Lord in your heart. It wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Hallelujah. Got to make it to heaven somehow. Oh, though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around off everything that's got a name. You want to, devil? Glory to God. All the wealth I want and worldly fame, but I'm a serving notice on you, devil, right tonight. It ain't going to do you no good to make the offers. Because I've got my eyes on heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing it again. Well, it wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Gotta make the heaven somehow. Oh, the devil picks me, tries to turn me around. Ready for everything that's got a name on the realm of God. Barely paid me, takes me for a journey now. There's nothing in the world that would ever take place in God's love. All silver and gold, my body touched my mind. When a soul needs healing, I'll begin to feel his power. I can stay faithful, make the Lord turn you down. I'll make it to heaven somehow. So the devil hit me and tries to turn me around. Oh, whatever thing that's got a name, well, follow worldly fame. Could still, it wouldn't take that from a journey now. Happened in the Lord many years ago. I had a lot of heartaches, had a lot of grief in the world. Oh, that would stumble, never hustle down. Oh, that they would say, wouldn't take that from a journey now. Every place you got to love. All silver and gold, my body flesh rubbed up. The soul needs healing, I begin to feel it in power. Oh, thank the Lord for the journey now. And it wouldn't take nothing for the journey now. Gotta make the hands somehow. Whatever test me tries, turn it around. And he offered everything that's got a name for. Journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. Oh, everything that's got a name all around my world. Oh, if I ain't never could still run, take nothing for the journey now. And the best part of it, you can make it if you really want to. Let's give God the praise.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah, you can make it if you really want to. Hallelujah. 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 Thank the Lord. Appreciate each one of you. Glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I appreciate your pastor. I've told all over the country, from one end to the other, gift. That if you really want to make it, you can. Brother Collins and I came, I guess, from about two different extremes. I was brought up in this. Never do anything else. And he started out without any help. Only one of his family a lot of time that was living for God. He's just a teenage preacher boy. One of the brothers in the church there at home said that boy is a living miracle. How he stays in there when he don't have any help at home. Don't have any help anywhere else except what he gets from God and what he gets at church. And he is faithful. Before he even had any transportation, he'd start hoofing it. Get around plenty of time to start hoofing it in. How many miles that was? Is it from down there on the Worth Road to Midway? To Midway, 6 miles. About a mile and 2/10 out to the highway. And if he got out in the highway in time, somebody stopped maybe and pick him up, bring him to church. Hallelujah. But he kept walking out to the highway and walking down the highway till somebody come along, picked him up, brought him on in. Same way going back home. Hallelujah. How many teenagers do you know that committed to God? And that's what made the difference. That's what made the difference. I was preaching Sunday night down in Arkansas, and I used him for an example again, how God could reach down.
Praise God.
Save a young man. Sanctify him, fill him with the Holy Ghost. Take him out of obscurity. And give highway of wholeness a pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank the Lord. Let's go to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts tonight. Hallelujah. I appreciate the way the Lord come by and moved last night.
Thank God.
We needed that. I did. Thank the Lord. I wouldn't have cared if he'd have done it again tonight, but God does things a different way. I mean, hardly ever any two services the same if God gets in it. If we're just running our little program, why, it'll get in a rut. You know what rut is? Grave with both ends dug out. But too much of the time, we make our own plans, and then we ask God to bless our plans. And what we need to do is to report into heaven and say, Lord, what do you got? What do you got on the agenda for me to do today? Amen. God, let me do something for you today. What you got on the agenda for me to do today? Amen. But we want to make our own plans, and then we want God's blessings on them instead of seeing what God, kind of plans God's got. Isn't it so?
Yes, sir.
Try to figure out how God ought to work it and how God ought to do it. And then it's like the brother's talking about. That's good preaching, son. Hallelujah. And then, God, we've got it figured out for you to work it this way, and now you bless it and do it.
Help us, Lord.
And God may have an altogether different way of handling it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord.
Come on.
Chapter 4.
Hallelujah.
Chapter 3. Lame man's been healed, laying a beautiful gate. A lot of things I don't understand about healing.
Me too.
That man had been there a long time, the Bible said. We're just 33 A.D., just a few months past the resurrection, ascension, outpouring of Pentecost. It's very possible this lame man may have been at the gate when Jesus went in and out from the temple. I don't understand God's timing all the time. I don't understand why the Lord heals sometimes and sometimes he don't. But I keep right on praying for folks because every once in a while the Lord comes by and the timing gets just right for God to do something. Amen. It wasn't a new thing for this man to be here. The Bible said he'd been there for a long time. They carried him daily and laid him at the beautiful gate to beg alms.
Yes.
But the timing got right. And Peter and John went up to pray.
Yes.
On their way to prayer meeting.
Yes.
Most of us be in better shape after prayer meeting than we would before, but they has prayed up on their way to prayer meeting. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. It didn't take three songs and prayer requests and testimony service and a message and 15, 20 minutes in the altar praying before they is ready to do something for God. They is on their way to pray.
Right.
And this lame man sitting by the gate, and you know the story, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. A lot of our problem anymore, we don't have enough to hardly keep it going ourselves, let alone give something to somebody else. Amen. But if we can get full enough to where we're overflowing and other folks can be blessed by our overflow, we can do something for God. Hallelujah. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And immediately his ankle bones received strength. And he went through the temple leaping and shouting and praising God. And the multitude gathered. Peter and John got to preaching to him. That old son of thunder, John. And Peter, the converted fisherman. And they had him a time.
Yeah, boys.
5,000 believed. Stirred up the Jewish officials so bad. They threw him in prison overnight. Next morning brought him out, commanded him not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus.
Right.
Their reaction is what I want to get down to.
Yeah.
The 29th verse. And they said, now Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all.
Great grace.
One thing that kind of arrested my attention here. Now, this is just not more than weeks or months at the very most from Pentecost, maybe just days.
Right.
It's not been very long since the upper room experience.
Sure.
And you'd have thought after an experience like that,
right,
they wouldn't have needed anything more.
Oh, God.
In Luke, the 24th chapter, the 49th verse, Jesus, after his resurrection, given instructions to the disciples. And he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Then in the first chapter of the book of Acts, and being assembled together with them, fourth verse, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John hath truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Hallelujah.
I believe there's some more there. We'll, for the sake of brevity, get on into the word. But already, just a few days, few months,
already,
at the most, few weeks after Pentecost, they feel the need of something more.
Oh, yes.
Jesus not only told them to tarry until they're endued with power from on high, but he went on to say, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. I think we have missed it a lot of times because we made the initial experience in the baptism of the Holy Ghost an end in itself.
That's right. Absolutely.
I mean, we seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, for the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and have the physical evidence of the speaking in tongues. And then after we have received the gift and the infilling and the speaking in tongues, we say, I've got it now.
Yeah.
And we quit seeking God.
All right. Right.
Right.
We lose our desire and our fervency to get more. I remember when I first received the Holy Ghost, God baptized me the Holy Ghost. I was 12 years old, summer before I was 13, that fall, some 49 years ago. Now you know how old I am. and that summer, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, for quite a while there, seemed like I was just on a cloud. But school started that fall, and I hit some persecution when I started back to school, and some pretty severe persecution. And all of a sudden, I wasn't on the cloud anymore.
Well, wonder why.
And I wondered, what's happened to me? What's happened to me? I thought, once I received the Holy Ghost, and once the Holy Ghost moved through me, and I spoke with tongues, and oh, I had such a glorious experience. I mean, I went out in the Spirit, and I was praying about the middle of the altar in the old Midway church, and when I came to and heard myself speaking in tongues, I was threw over against the wall under a bench. I don't know how I got there. Must have been Holy Roller or something anyway. Some way or another, I'd got from the middle of the altar clear over under the bench. And just such an experience. But the time came, I felt the lack. And I looked back in the book, and I saw where Jesus said, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you."
Power?
13-year-old boy read about the power after. I said, "Lord, I know I got the experience. I know you baptized me.
Yes.
I know I spoke in tongues.
Yes.
I know I received the Holy Ghost. But Lord, I have some snags here now. I mean, the devil's come full force at me. I've had a battle and I need some help." And the Lord said, "I told you you'd receive power afterwards." And I looked over here in the fourth chapter where they prayed. And when they had prayed, and I hit the altar again and said, "Lord, I need that endowment of power."
Well, glory.
Hey, man, I'm back in school now. I'm a-hubbing it now. I'm back in the battlefield again now. And God, I've got to have an endowment of power. Thank God he endues with power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've got computers and all kinds of things, but God's got imputers and imparters. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen. But God turned around and got to where he didn't just impute, but Romans said he imparted. Glory to God. God can impute and God can impart. And God can do. And I'm glad he can do it. Amen. That's not the last time I've had to come back when I've gotten a battle and realized my strength and my resources was running low. And I find a place to pray again. And I seek God again. Lord, I need another endowment. I need some imparting again. I need some imputing again. I need some help again, Lord. Would you impart some more power? Amen. Would you impute some more righteousness? Oh, God, would you endow me again? Hallelujah. 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 I guess y'all need a title to put on this. Let's say one prayer away.
Here are these
apostles, I mean great men.
Yeah.
Peter stood up with 11, preached that great message on the day of Pentecost, and 2,000 was saved. Hey, man, just got through with another revival with 5,000 saved.
Well, glory.
But the pressure's on now.
What a meeting.
The pressure's on now.
Yes.
Spent the night in jail.
Yeah, Lord.
Brother, been commanded not to speak any more in the name of Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
On the penalty of their life. Glory to God. Sought out the brethren. Told them what had happened. They weren't about to back up. They prayed again. Lord, grant to thy servant boldness. We need more endowment of power. We need more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One prayer meeting they had, the place where they was praying was shaken. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Power of God even shook the building, shook the whole place. When we get interested enough in God's moving and God's power and God's blessing and God imputing and imparting the blessing to us, that we'll get down to business and really seek God, we can have something.
Yeah.
Fellow back up in the Ozarks at the hills there. He is kind of simple in his thinking. Simple in his expression. And he's wanting a move of God real bad. And he got to praying for a move of God. And he prayed, "Lord, send it far from heaven. Send a thunderbolt to the fire of God from heaven and kindle up on the altars of our church. God, send it down from heaven, Lord, right through the roof and right through the ceiling and kindle a fire on the altar.
My God.
In his simplicity, he got to thinking about that lightning bolt from Glory World coming through the ceiling and coming through the roof. He said, send it, Lord. If it does any damage, I'll pay the bill to get it repaired myself, but send it anyhow. Hallelujah. Whatever it takes, Lord, we want it. We want it. No, it won't damage the roof. It won't damage the ceiling. But in his simple thinking, he was so desperate and so wanting it, he is willing to foot the bill to fix it. If God had just sent it, when you and I get willing to pay the price, we'd get willing to seek God. We'd get willing to humble ourselves. Amen. The same promise God gave to Solomon, when my people that's called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The very thing we need may just be a prayer away. I mean, them great men, John the son of thunder, amen, that had leaned on Jesus' breast. Glory to God. But he needed something. If he needed something, is it any wonder that poor little old folks like me needs it every once in a while? Amen. If a son of thunder had to pray again, if Peter had to pray again, Brother Rick Bradley, we may have to do a bunch of it. But thank God he knows how to move and knows how to answer. When they had prayed, oh, there's results. Glory to God. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I thought they got it over in Acts 2. They did.
Yeah.
But there's more than one filling.
Amen. Many.
Hallelujah.
Right. Thank
you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Thank you. I stopped at Charleston, Missouri, and filled that old motor home up.
Yeah. That's a good place.
That cheap gas.
Yeah.
Boomland, I believe they call it. Oh, $1.04.
$1.49.
Yeah. But that thing, it likes it.
Yes.
It's thirsty. Towing that little van along behind.
Oh my.
And I got up this side of Louisville and that thing got thirsty again.
My goodness.
Didn't make it all the way here from Charleston.
Oh, no.
On one fill-up. Too many hills. Too many hills. That old 454, I mean, it runs, it pulls, it just tows that little old van along like it wasn't hardly back there.
Yeah.
But it's thirsty when it does it.
Man, yeah, gotta feed it.
Yeah, don't make a whole lot of difference having it on or not having it on. You're feeding all them horses, you gotta feed them.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What'd I do? Found another station.
Yes, sir.
Too many people's tried to keep a running on one tank full. And they thought that one blessing they got would get them all the way to Glory World. They thought that one experience they prayed through to the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, and that ought to be all they needed from here yonder to the Glory World. But if you pull very many heels, amen, hit very many hollers, amen, come through very many hills, glory to God, if you go very far, amen, the journey's very long, you need to find another filling station along the way. We understand that in our vehicles, don't we? I mean, well, that's what that gauge is on there for.
Look at the gauge.
That little Ranger we used to have, when it got down very much below the half tank, that thing had dropped down on empty, and you could go another 100-150 miles after it was on empty. But this little minivan, when it says empty, you're done. I mean, it don't have no grace at all. It don't give you no margin at all. When it gets down on the empty mark, if you don't do something quick, you're going to be walking.
Right.
Sometimes we try to run too far on grace when we need to come back to the filling station. When we need to pull in, pull up, stop. Oh, but I don't have time. You'll take time.
Yes, I did twice last week.
Amen. It'll cost you more time.
That's right. Yeah, Lord, late.
It'll cost you more time if you have to walk to the next station and walk back and pour it in there and try to get it primed up in the fuel injector to where it'll take off again. It's a whole lot better to keep it a-going while it's a-going.
Well, sure.
That's right.
Amen.
Tell us about it.
Hallelujah. When they had prayed, they were just one prayer away from power.
One prayer away.
They were just one prayer away from great power and great grace. What if they hadn't prayed? How different the book would read if they hadn't prayed. How different the book would have read with a lot of folks if they had prayed again.
Oh my God.
Amen. How different would it have been if that backslider had prayed one more time? How different would it have been if that lost man or woman, maybe they just one prayer away? In the desperate condition that Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he said, I'll pray again. I'll turn again toward that holy mountain. That's always been a mystery to me, how he knew what direction Jerusalem was, out there in the bottom of the Mediterranean somewhere. Solomon had prayed when he made that great dedicatory prayer. And when they dedicated the temple, Lord, when your people's in trouble, wherever they are, whatever the situation or whatever the condition, if they look toward this holy place and they pray, then Lord, deliver them. And Jonah was accounting on it and banking on it. I don't know. I'd say he probably couldn't tell one direction from another. He probably just kept turning around and around until he got the direction that he felt the pull. Glory to God. Sometimes you just got to keep a praying and a seeking God till you get headed in the right direction. Amen. But he got in the right direction directly. Glory to God. He knew where he was headed. Amen. And he said, I'll pray one more time. He's in such a bad condition. He said, from the belly of hell I prayed. No, he wasn't there yet, but he was on his way. And so are you if you're not living for God and serving God like you ought to. I've talked to lost folks. Well, I don't intend to go to hell. Well, you do too if you're headed that direction. I don't aim to go to hell. I don't aim to be lost. You're already lost if you're not living for God. If there's sin in your life, you're already lost.
Amen.
It isn't a matter of intending to be or planning to be. You are. You're either in or out. Amen. You're either saved or lost. We're not in limbo somewhere. We're either serving God or we're serving sin. But one prayer can make the difference. One real, genuine prayer to God. Hallelujah. One prayer away is all a lot of folks are. They just turn loose of the world and turn to God wholeheartedly and completely. They could have blessing and joy and power like they'd never had before. There's others in the midst of a test, in the midst of a trial. I mean, just so loaded down and burdened down, and grief and sorrow and cares of life and whatever else may be weighting them down and bogging them down. And instead of turning to God and really getting a hold of God and casting all their cares on, they just keep a struggling along, just barely can, keep a going, just barely can. And they're just one prayer away of getting help if they turn to God. These boys realized they needed some help. They gathered around with the saints of God. And they said, let's have another prayer meeting. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the 33rd verse said, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I thought they already had it. Not in this measure. Well, they just got through having one day revival with 5,000 converts. No, but now they've got a double dose. Amen. They've got a double portion. Hallelujah. That's what Elisha wanted, what Elijah had, a double portion. Amen. They've got it all over again. They filled all over again. They're thrilled all over again. Hallelujah. With great power gave they witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Hallelujah. Great grace. We need it. We need it. For years and years I've grown up, I heard him preach on grace. They told him it was God's unmerited favor, and it is. But some time back, something arrested me on grace. Paul started every one of his epistles with a prayer for grace for the folks he's writing to, and he turned around and ended it with grace. Hey, man, grace works in our salvation. Very important. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and fleshly lust, they'll live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, while they're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So grace figures so prominently in everything. And Paul's prayer was so much for grace. I said, there got to be more in this than what I know about. And I started looking. I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, but I do know how to turn over in the back of the concordance and look up the guide letter and find out what the original word was in the Greek. And it's charis, I guess it is, charis, and the pronunciation says charece, charis. Charis, grace. Yes. So I got to looking into that. And I found out it wasn't only just God's favor, but I got to looking into it a little farther, and it said divine aid and assistance. Not only God's favor looking at, but God coming right in on the scene to help us. Glory to God to give us some assistance. Glory to God to give us some strength, to give us some aid, to give us some help. No wonder Paul prayed for them young churches that the grace of God would be with them. Amen. The grace of God be with y'all. Amen. Why? God's assistance. God's divine help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've done a little building. Never did build a bridge. A little residential building. Worked on a few commercial buildings, but never did build a bridge. I don't know nothing about building bridges. But brother, if you need a bridge built, and I had time, and you tell me, Brother Green, I want a bridge. Now, money's no consideration. I need you to do it. I need to turn it over to you. You do it. I'd say, all right. But I don't know how to build a bridge. But if you want me to do it, I'll do it. How are you going to do that? First thing I'm going to do is get me an engineer. I'll hire an engineer. I spent half his life going to school studying about the strength of beams and the strength of pre-stressed post-tension concrete and all this kind of stuff, you know, that takes to build bridges and how deep you got to go down to bedrock to get your piers in. Amen. And tell him, I want you to draw me a bridge plan here, and I want you to go out and check this location, and we have to do some test drilling, some boring down to find where bedrock is, because we're going to build us a bridge. Not because I know how, but because there's folks that do know how. And if I can get the right kind of assistance, and I can get the right kind of help, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Find out what we need here to start with. Find out how deep we got to go down with the footings for the piers to make the thing hold. And find out how long our spans need to be and how heavy a steel we need for our girders and how heavy a concrete we need for our floor and what we need to build this bridge. Right. Then I'll find me a contractor that knows how to handle steel. Find me a contractor that knows how to build bridge deck forms and four bridges. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We could build a bridge.
All right.
Not because I know how.
Yes, sir.
But because I get the right kind of help.
The right kind of help.
Hallelujah. 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 Brother, if you can afford it, and you need it, and you can afford it, we can get it built. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can get it built. Why? Because there's folks that knows how. There's a help that we need. And if we can afford to get the help we need, we can do it. I said all that to say this. Great grace was upon him. The job God had for him was too big for a mortal man to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The commission God gave him was too big for a natural man to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Glory to God. Go ye into all nations, teaching them to observe all the things that I can. Too big for any human being to do. No, but God said, I'll give you the grace. And great grace is upon them all. Hallelujah. With great power between the combination of great power and great grace, they were invincible. Turned the world upside down. People said Jesus turned the world upside down. It's come here too. How? Because they got the right kind of help. Amen. Because they got power. And they got the right kind of assistance. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said all that to say this. That you need, you can get. And it may just be a prayer away.
Just a prayer away. Yes.
Some of you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It may just be a prayer away. Amen. Amen. Some of you need real victory in your life.